Bro, what's up?
Dude, just watching the dating game.
Right on. Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one ED209 podcast in all of Detroit. I'm your host, Parker, joined as always by co-host Jason Razorbabes. Frizzbabe?
I thought you were leaving it at that. I don't know why I didn't think you would give me all those nicknames again. I was just cutting in because I liked the way your voice sounded just now. Well, the always.
I like to mix it up with the way I do the introductions, slightly. Not in terms of words, but in terms of how Jerry Lewis it gets.
Yeah. I mean, you made that pretty clear when we first started doing this. You're like, I'm just going to go for Jerry Lewis, don't stop me.
Mm-hmm.
Been like that ever since. I'd say that's the key point of the show.
Yeah.
How much like Jerry Lewis you are.
We're number one on the Jerry Lewis charts.
Yeah.
And we're number nine on the Jenny Lewis chart, sadly.
Mm.
Not that high at all.
No, I forget who Jenny Lewis is now.
She's in the band The Rilo Kiley's.
That's right.
You heard about them when you were 22.
That's right, yeah. When I was in my college days, mm-hmm. volunteering at radio stations, spinning all the hot jams, the mm-hmm. tasty indie licks.
Mm-hmm. The hottest.
The tasty indies.
The hottest Elliott Smith jams. that there were.
The most steak knife to the heart Carvinist jams.
Mm-hmm. That was the saddest bastard radio station that we worked at. Everybody was just playing Elliott Smith all the time and the Shins and stuff.
Half of them were. The other half were trying to do morning shows and stuff. And that was, that was sad in another way.
Yeah.
In a completely different way. The people who took that shit way too seriously, that's the saddest thing.
Yeah. Truly the saddest, I feel, were, Jono's friends and, like, bandmates who would play, like, they would, like, try to get the primest time slot. They'd be like, oh, man, I gotta do it, you know, Wednesday at 2 p.m. when everybody's at school. That's the perfect time for my weird noise music and feedback show.
Yeah, because that's what radio's... that's what rakes in the listeners.
Yeah, annoying people. And they
know this sounds like I'm between stations. I better change it.
Yeah. Ugh. They couldn't just leave well enough alone. They couldn't be like, oh, I'll play my shitty noise music that nobody wants to hear Sunday at midnight. That's what I wanted. I always wanted that time slot, like Sunday at midnight. That's what I would always go for. Because I knew nobody...
That's what we always got.
Yeah, because I knew that only the people who really wanted to listen to Lagwagon would tune in. And I didn't want to bug anybody else with it.
Hmm.
But not those noise kids. They would always want the primest time spot so that they could freak out the squares with their shitty music.
Yeah. We actually did get callers then, too. I remember that. We had that. It was right after Dimebag Daryl got shot. We had somebody call in requesting. What band was he in? Pantera? I forget.
Yeah, Pantera.
Yeah, somebody requested something because he was bummed out. So we did a double shot of Dimebag Daryl.
Nice.
And we left very quickly because we were scared.
That we would get shot.
Yeah, that the guy wouldn't like our joke, our sweet joke. when you said primist, I thought you said primus. Like they were looking for the primus time slots to play all their primus music, you see.
Yeah, they needed to play it at base o'clock.
Yep. Well, speaking of radio shows, this is a terrible segue. I was on a different podcast.
Tell us more about this.
You know those acid pop cults?
I've heard of them.
And they're on acidpopcult.com. They are connected to our iTunes page. And we're also sweet dude friends with that Jeremy.
I don't know about
Lee,
I don't know.
And with
I don't
that
know.
Roxy, too.
I don't know about we. I was
Well, yeah. You weren't on there, but I was.
I wasn't invited. Who didn't invite me?
Everyone did not invite you because you were on there before without me.
Yeah, but
I didn't get pissed. Why are you so pissed?
Hey, I'm grumpy over here. I just like to be. I just I just want to be well liked in the community.
You are. You go on shows all the time without me. You narcissistic bastard. The one time that they're like, "Hey, Frisbee, you wanna come on? We had Parker on. We feel kind of bad for you." And I'm like, "Oh, okay. Thanks for letting me play, guys." And you're just like, "What is all this? How come Frisbee gets all the attention always?" I'm so glad we didn't grow up as siblings.
How much
I would have been dead.
Did you guys? Did you guys at least talk about me a lot, or like how much of the show is about me?
About 95%, actually.
Right, that sounds good. That's good to me.
Yeah. They actually called me Parker a few times. So.
That's fine.
Tune in. Now, the show, we talk about blaxploitation films, specifically Rudy Ray Moore. Are you familiar with Rudy Ray Moore?
Of course. I love that Dolomites.
I love that Petey Wheatstraw, the devil's son-in-law. And we bring that up as part of a halfway tribute to a Black History Month, but also because Lee is an aficionado on the blaxploitation genre. So he leads that discussion. We also talk about the capacity of old TV shows. See, you wouldn't have liked it anyway, because it was all, like, old stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, Jeremy's talking about Dick Van Dyke and black and white stuff, and you would have, your face would have melted, like in Raiders of the Lost Ark or something.
Yeah, I would have just played a snore sound effect the whole time.
Or fart noises.
Yeah.
But I had a great time. And it's a good listen. If you haven't listened to this show yet, what the hell is wrong with you? You probably should be checking it out. You definitely should be checking it out. There's all sorts of good stuff. They get great interviews. Hey, remember that one time of the other times you were on that show without me and you got to talk to Tiffany Shepis?
Yeah, that was pretty sweet. She was very nice to me. And now she follows me on Twitter.
Yeah, and you did that without me. So shut the F up.
Wasn't that even... I think that was even before we started Pool Party, though. Wasn't it?
No. I don't think so. Because Acid Pop Cult started after us.
You're accusing them of copying us.
No, Jeremy told me that he liked the format at Pool Party so much that he wanted to do a show that was like us.
Nice.
And it's good kids. And the way that they get like Tiffany Shepis and other guest directors and guest actresses from Scream Queens to other genres, I would say that they're kind of exceeding us in a lot of ways. Because we have other voice talent, but he mostly says the same things again and again. Isn't that right, sir?
Are you talking about me? That I repeat myself?
Are you
accusing me?
I was talking to the guy who repeats himself all the time. You do repeat yourself, but not in the way this guy does.
Hey, when I do it, it's a part of radio talk. It's called a reset. You gotta reset everybody to let them know what's going on here. Speaking of resetting everybody, I would like to reintroduce everybody to our producer, Muhammad, who's here today.
How the hell are you?
Doing good, Muhammad. How you doing?
Okay.
He's doing okay. I'm not good at talking to him.
That's a long pause. Yeah. Very thoughtful.
Well, he's busy. He's doing a lot of producer stuff.
What do producers do? I never actually figured that out.
Hey, man, I've been training for a year, and now I think I'm bigger than you are.
Bigger at producing?
Yeah.
Oh, so thoughtful. God.
What do you think?
I think it's great. Bigger. Hey, did you also want to, talking about going on shows without each other and bastardizing the idea of me going on shows without you, you want to talk about that time that we were on a show together?
No, I would hate to talk about that. I do want to apologize, though. I'm not mad that you went on the Poopy Poop cult show.
The Poppy Tarts?
Poppy... soda religion show. Ecstasy acid soda religion.
Acidy pop cults.
Yeah. I'm not mad. I actually feel that it's proper for us to go on podcasts alone sometimes because I feel us being a duo ship on this show.
Uh-huh.
And also on the Junk Food Dinner, that people mm-hmm. maybe feel obligated to invite us both on when they want one of us to go on their show. And I know that I feel a little obligated sometimes.
Yeah, but there's been plenty of times, like, you've been on that show. You've been on Elcon, the Logical Contraption. You've been on that show alone.
Well, that's because they owe me money. I'm just asking those guys to give me my money back when I go on their show.
How much do they owe you? Do they owe you anything for T-shirts?
Yeah.
Those are my shirts. I've got a right to sell them.
No, we're talking about different shirts here, Muhammad. Those are the I let those guys have some shirts, and they never paid me.
You don't get a percentage.
That's rough. I don't like being a producer.
Yeah. But, unless, yeah. Well, I feel like people feel guilty. Like, say they want you to come on the show because you're charming and nice. I feel like people shouldn't be, they shouldn't feel guilty for not inviting, if they do. I know I'm just projecting here because, I feel guilty if we, like that time we had Rhea on the show, I felt guilty that Destiny was not also on the show. But sometimes our Skype blows up if we have more than three people on a show.
Yeah, and we've had Jeremy from Acid Pop Cult by himself on our show. And that leaves out Lee and Roxy. I mean, they might be doing stuff anyway, but that's another thing, is just scheduling it, too.
Yeah, and me being neurotic, I feel that maybe Lee and Roxy are very mad at us for this, for only inviting Jeremy on. But that's just me. I'm projecting it, probably. Hopefully.
Oh, but we are going to have Lee on our 101st episode.
That's true. Because we're doing more Saved by the Bells.
Yeah, so now I just need to get Roxy on somehow.
Yeah.
But she and I have a past. It's a weird sort of history. I don't want to get into it.
It's erotic, your history.
We'll leave it at that, because that makes me feel better about myself.
Yeah.
But an erotic past. It makes me feel like a Showtime late night special. Showcase. Showtime, right?
Yeah.
I forget these movie channels.
Nobody remembers the movie channel. Speaking of Saved by the Bell, though, Corey from the Illogical Contraption Show, which is now on Sundays on Radio Valencia, he clued me into something on the Twitter, and that's that some comedian lady has a show where she reviews every episode of Saved by the Bell.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You remember that time that you wanted to play D&D on the show?
Yeah.
You know, there's a podcast a comedian, Brian Posehn, does where he plays D&D on a show.
Yeah, Dan Harmon does it too. We came up with that idea like 2 years ago, and we never did that either. We need to start doing these ideas we come up with.
That's the problem with both of us. Like, we do not capitalize on any of the stuff we talk about, and then we feel somehow offended when other people actually just go through with it.
Yeah, well, the Saved by the Bell thing is, I mean, we do kind of do that. We don't dedicate an entire episode to one episode like we actually talked about like 2 weeks ago maybe doing, but we do review every episode of Saved by the Bell, and now all these Hollywood types are getting in on it.
Hollywood, baby.
You're Bruce Campbell's and you're Ted Raimi's. So I'm pretty offended, and then on top of that, I was like mad enough as it was about that. I'm very angry about this. Then I was like on Instagram the other day, and I follow on Instagram this podcast called DVD ASA, which is a new podcast. I heard these guys on the Joe Rogan show, so I listened to a couple of their episodes, and I followed them on Instagram. And they have a logo for their podcast where their faces are photoshopped on E.T. and Elliot riding bikes.
What?
Yeah, just like we have.
That is super offensive. I'm actually very offended by this, because I think about that photo quite a bit. I think it's one of the most charming photos we have. That depicts me cycling a decaying, decrepit you to Portland to get you killed.
Yeah.
To get you euthanized like a dog.
I love that photo. I carry it around in my wallet.
It's beautiful. I got it tattooed just above my groin. I don't understand why people are trying to steal all of our good things, Parker.
Mm-hmm. People are really taking a lot from us these days, I feel.
Yeah, we do it for nothing. I'm assuming these other people also do it for nothing. But we did it first, or we thought of it initially and didn't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
But that picture is going way too far.
Yeah,
I thought you said they're going to have like a Drowning Boy logo or something like that.
Yeah, I would be deeply offended by that.
If some podcast tries to steal the love that we had for Old Cat, then we're going to have to do some guerrilla warfare stuff, I feel.
Yeah, then it'll come to fisticuffs.
Yeah.
I would feel a little safe if somebody tried to rip off our Drowning Boy logo, though, on account of I've had it tattooed on my arm for like 10 years. So I feel like we could probably sue them pretty effectively.
I don't think you know how copyright law works.
Nah, that's how it works.
You've also got Freddy and Jason tattooed on you, but you don't own the rights to those.
I own the rights to Jason Part 6.
Really?
Because of my tattoo, yeah. Like, well, you know how like if you like look on... your phone probably has an app for books, you know?
I don't have apps. I have a dumb phone. I don't have a smartphone.
Well, other people.
But tell me more of these stories about apps.
People like Mark Zuckerberg and Warren Buffett, they have these phones that have apps. And they have, you can have an app that where you can, like, download books from Amazon and stuff like this.
Yeah.
E-books, they call them, electronic books. And they have an entire category that's free stuff that because there's no copyright laws on it. And the reason there's no copyrights on it is because the authors, people like Arthur Conan Doyle, Bram Stoker, it was before, they lived in an age before tattoos, and they didn't have tattoos of their creations, and hence, it's not copyrighted. Like,
oh, beautiful. Like yeah, I thought this was going to go into Disney law and all that stuff, but no, I like where this is headed much better.
Yeah, that's why that stuff's not copyrighted. That's why, you can watch, anybody can put out a DVD of Night of the Living Dead, because George Romero doesn't have a zombie tattoo.
Okay.
That's how it works.
That works, yeah. I like that.
Yeah, if you were to, like, say that you were in a sauna with George Lucas, you would discover that his entire body is covered in, like, Star Wars characters, because that's how he copyrights them.
Like a Yakuza tattoo?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it looks just like a tailored jacket or something, mm-hmm. just all these characters from the Star Wars universe.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have to get that removed now that he's sold all the rights to Disney?
Yeah, he does have to get that removed. It's going to be very painful and costly.
Or he just needs to get, like, Mickey Mouse's face tattooed over every character. So, like, a giant Jabba the Hutt has Mickey Mouse's face on it now.
Yeah.
Over Jabba's face.
Or, like, just one huge Mickey Mouse tattoo. Like, all across his body. That will cover everything up.
Yeah, that's probably the case. I had a quick question. Going back to ebooks,
mm-hmm.
do you think that older people call ebooks secretly, that they call ebooks paperless books, like people used to call automobiles horseless carriages?
I don't think that old people know that books can exist without paper, so I don't think they call them anything.
I think they would call them paperless books if they knew.
Yeah.
But since they don't, they'll never get a hold of it, I guess.
Yeah, actually, I downloaded this Mark Twain book the other day, and like some guy left a review for the book. He was the only guy in the entire like store who left a review for the book. And because everybody else is busy, like, reviewing Harry Potter books and stuff, I'm sure, everybody else in the world. And
Tuscan milk.
Yeah, and Tuscan milk. All the adults of the world are leaving reviews on how much they like the children's book about wizards. And but this one guy, he left a review of a Mark Twain book, and he was talking about how much he loved it as a kid, and he loves it now that he can read it on his phone, and he's, like, 80 years old. And I thought that was the cutest, most charming thing.
That's good.
Yeah, this 80-year-old guy, like, probably learned how to use a smartphone just so he could read these old books. It brought a tear to my eye.
You cried about the elderly. I'm impressed.
Yeah, I really enjoy the elderly.
That Downton Abbey really brought out some feels in you, I feel.
Yeah. He had a slight limp, so it really brought it home for me.
That was from our last TV Hostage, and we'll be doing another installment of TV Hostage today, because we picked some TV Hostage shows last week. This is a totally original idea. We did not copy from Kissing Contest. I lie. We totally ripped them off, because they ripped off your other show. Am I getting this right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they stole a segment from Junk Food Dinner, so we stole their segment. But then last week on their show, they stole our segment, and they did The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and they did it with movie sequels, which I actually like a great deal, because we did it with movie sequels. Then we remade that one by doing movie sequels again, like the following week, and then they did movie sequels, remaking it again.
You have a nasty habit of people stealing your stuff through these podcasts. Are you sure that doing a podcast is the wisest decision you've ever made?
I'm helping people.
Yeah, for nothing.
Yeah, but I can't blame those guys. I mean, we stole their stuff first, so they can steal whatever they want from this show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, those Kissing Contest guys. We stole from them first. And also, we did do that March Madness tournament at Halloween, which we totally stole from those guys, too.
But he was on the show. It's like he was an ambassador for it or something.
Yeah, that's true. That's the only way we could play off stealing it is if we invited one of those guys on to do it with us.
And Mike Dick was there with us.
Yeah, so that, I guess that doesn't count. Well, we did have TV Hostage planned for the end of the show, but now that we're talking about it so much, do you just want to do now?
No, we can do the lightning round. I'm just saying that we'll do TV Hostage later.
That's called a tease, Mr. Frisbee. That's professional radio ship.
Yep.
Radiosmanship.
Radio Manship. WKRP in Cincinnati.
So what do you think, Muhammad? Should we get into the lightning round right now, or?
Let's do it.
And now, it's time
for the lightning round.
Man defends horse rape. I was thinking it would have a horseman baby. Andrew Mendoza, 29. He's a Texas native. He was facing charges of horse rape. And here's his quote. I was trying to make the horse have a baby. I was thinking it would have a horseman baby. I ain't going to lie. I blew a nut in the horse. I then got off the bucket and put my clothes back on and left. I promise that I have not been back over to the horse since that time. So that's fun. And there's an update. Mendoza's criminal career subsequently ended when he hanged himself in a county jail where he was being held on indecency with a child and trespassing charges. So we'll never know if he'll ever return to the horse.
Yeah. This is, this guy's 29, you say?
He's a year older than me, a year younger than you.
Yeah, it's incredible that this guy, as a 29-year-old, would have to rape a horse in order to find out if horses and people could have babies. Because, like, that's something that you think about when you're, like 7, you know, or something. And then, like, you ask somebody, like, you ask an adult, you go, hey, can people and horses have kids? And then they go, no, don't be stupid. And then, like, that's the end of that entire chapter. But this guy at 29, he thought about it so hard. You know, not only could he not put the answer together by the age of 29, when we have Wikipedia and all this stuff, like, Yahoo Answers probably could have answered it pretty clearly for him. But he thought about it so hard that he had to actually go out and rape the horse to figure out it. And then, say this horse could have a human baby.
Uh-huh.
Then he's stuck with this human horse baby that he's got to take care of for 18 years. Like, that's the worst way to find out.
Yeah, see, I don't think I don't think hard thinking went into this so much as casual, probably really stoned thinking went into this. Like, if he was really thinking hard about it, he would have been able to do some research or at least put two and two together and be like, oh, yeah, there's two different species. What the fuck am I thinking? But he was he just really won that horse poon, I think.
Yeah, that's probably true.
And the guy, I mean, not to disgrace the dead, but he kind of looks like Tuco from Breaking Bad, who's crazy anyway.
Yeah. I bet Tuco probably had sex with a horse at one point.
He's jacked up on meth all the time. Of course he did.
Yeah.
Of course he did. That guy probably put his penis in unspeakable places during his fictional career. But yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever conjured thoughts of Greek myth, half man, half insert animal here creatures?
No, I guess I kind of used to be into like Greek mythology a lot in like high school because I liked the movie The Crow and stuff like that.
How does that relate? I thought The Crow was just about gothic stuff.
Yeah, but gothic kids really like Greek mythology. Or at least at my high school, those were the kids that I could talk to about Greek mythology was the gothic kids.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Maybe that was just my school. Maybe at other schools, it's the preppy kids that really like the Greek mythology. Who knows? But I was into that, and I always like wondered how like these, you know, primitive, caveman-esque Greeks could come up with things like that. Like a kid with goat legs and like dudes with bull heads and stuff like that. And I assumed it must have been that they were having sex with these animals. But who knows? Who knows what they were doing? They were drinking a lot, doing a lot of drugs.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're also just very confused when they're drinking and doing drugs. So when they spy for the first time, like a dude on top of a horse, and they're wasted off their ass, they run back to their friends like, dude, I saw a half man, half horse. You ain't going to believe this, but he had the head of a bull and the body of a man. Also, there was this eagle that had the tail of a lion, and I think it was really boring in the days of Greece.
Yeah, that's probably true.
We're better off without it.
Yeah. Like, nowadays, like, we're much smarter than the cavemen of ancient Greece. So, like, when somebody goes, hey, what's the craziest thing you can think of? You go, oh, man, what about, like, a Cloverfield monster? Like, what about, like, a dream world of magic full of, There's like a goblin king, you know, he's got all these goblins and stuff and like fire guys and Ludo and everything like this. Like, we've got like cool imaginations now. But like way back in caveman days, like they were like, hey, Socrates, what's the weirdest thing you can think of? And he's like, how about like a dude that's like also a horse?
And what about a really big guy with just one eye?
Yeah, that's the twist. You see, instead of two eyes, he's got one eye. How wild is that?
You know what? That's not fair, actually, because the Medusa comes from Greek mythology, and that's pretty sweet character.
Well, it is just a lady with snakes on her head.
Who can turn you to stone when she looks at you?
Yeah, that part's pretty cool.
Did you ever see Jason the Argonauts with that stop-motion Medusa?
Is that, what was that, Friday the 13th, part 8?
Yeah, yeah, where he goes to Greece to find the Golden Fleece.
Yeah, that was
actually, it's a bunch of kids who go to New York to try to find, like, the best pizza.
Yeah, that was my
favorite
one.
And then Jason just shows up.
Yeah, that's the worst part about Jason and the Argonauts, is that only, like, the last 20 minutes actually take place in Greece.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to the next story. Horrible Histories author Terry Deary on libraries, no longer relevant. I didn't know who this guy was, but apparently Terry Deary is a guy from England who writes a series of books that sound a lot like the, what are they called? The EC comics from back in the 60s, like these kind of hyper violent depictions from actual violent periods in human history, mostly European history, I'm guessing, from what I've been able to see on here. And yeah, he's an author who is against libraries. And he says the concept behind libraries is no longer relevant. Because it's been 150 years, we've got this idea that we've got an entitlement to read books for free at the expense of authors, publishers, and council taxpayers. This is not the Victorian age when we wanted to allow the impoverished access to literature. We pay for compulsory schooling to do that. Books aren't public property and writers aren't Enid Blyton, middle-class woman indulging in a pleasant little hobby. They've got to make a living. Authors, booksellers, and publishers need to eat. We don't expect to go to a food library to be fed. Yeah, he's a crotchety British dude. He's 62. I mean, what? I don't know what else to say. He's just old.
You disagree with this guy? You think libraries are pretty good?
Yeah, they're all right. Although, I mean, what? When's the last time that you or I have been to a library? I worked in one.
Yeah, I go to the library a good amount now.
Oh, and you do?
Yeah, the reason I go is because I'm too poor to buy books. So I go and get them for free, like this guy says. So based on that, I don't think I can disagree with him too hard.
Oh, well, it comes down to economics in his case. He says, and I don't know what this, I mean, between the two of us, I appreciate British culture probably leagues above you. But I still know what the hell he's talking about when he tries to talk about British money. He says that he gets like 6.2p every time. I'm guessing that's pence, which I thought was like a, you know, Oliver Twistian sort of money that doesn't exist anymore. But apparently it does. 6.2p every time one of their books is borrowed. Up to a cap of, ooh boy, £6,600. I have no idea. Oh, okay. That's about $10,000. Anyway, yeah.
Well, so people get paid for, well, at least in England, we don't know about America, but I'd assume it would probably be the same thing. People get paid when you check their books out?
No, he's trying to say, like, oh, excuse me. Maybe I read that wrong. He's talking about a different thing. Excuse me. Newspaper points out that Deary, who was the seventh most borrowed children's writer from UK libraries last year, will have been paid through the UK's public lending rights scheme, which gives authors 6.2 pence every time one of their books is borrowed. So yeah, he actually does get $10,000 from the public lending rights.
Well, then what's he complaining about?
Because he's old. He's just a 62-year-old dickhead. I found this other bio about him because I was like, okay, well, I don't know much about his books and everything, but maybe there's something, else to this, I guess. I mean, I was more interested to see how many books he sold. He sold like 25 million copies of these books worldwide. So again, real bummer. Super cool story, bro. You're getting paid for the books that you complain are being lent out. And you have one of the top selling children's books. So you're like shysting kids into reading your shit, which is doing awfully well. You're one of the best sellers of children's literature. And you have a problem still. I mean, he's a gloomy Gus. He's just a very old dude. And to as far as his point goes, I mean, yeah, I do not go to a library because right now, and it's a complicated situation. I don't know why I don't go to the library.
You borrowed a Berenstain Bears book in 1986 and you haven't returned it. So now you're blacklisted.
No. It was Paradise Lost. I borrowed Paradise Lost for all the sexy bits, like George Costanza did.
Nice.
But yeah, the guy leans on crutch words like entitlement and class. So he's a guy who identifies with working class, but he kind of desires that he complains about the entitlement of the upper class. So he wants a class system just to hate the classes that are involved.
Sounds weird. It sounds like a weird paradox.
I think that's what makes him tick. Yeah. Like he just wants to be crotchety. He's a poor man's version of Kurt Vonnegut, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think this guy should be happy with whatever he gets, because if he's writing children's books, you know, like, what do you need? Like, a colorful animal? Like, an animal that in your book is a different color than it is in real life, and you need, like, a magic wand. Boom. There you go. That children's book will sell a million copies.
Yeah, probably.
I don't see it's not like he's working hard. It's not like he's, Kurt Vonnegut or somebody like this, or Philip K. Dick creating entire universes out of nothing. Maybe he is. I don't know. Children's books.
He's doing history. He's just telling history.
Yeah.
He's telling the parts of, like, gross history. His publisher sent him these books and said, hey, pick out the gross parts and sell it to kids. And he did. And he admits in this interview, he's like, yeah, writing's not hard work. My dad was a butcher. That's hard work.
That doesn't sound like hard work either, though. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
You just go in there and smash, smash, smash.
What?
You get to smash animals if you're a butcher. Like that like that Kai fellow.
Kai?
Yeah, the hitchhiker we talked about last week or whatever. 2 weeks
ago. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that guy. He talked about how he killed that guy with an axe and he went, smash, smash, smash.
Oh, I didn't actually hear him say it. Hey, didn't he get involved in something else, like he was singing or something like that?
Well, they auto-tuned his stuff. Maybe he sings. I don't know anything about him. I think he's got a YouTube channel because he's a human in the year 2013.
I do not have a YouTube channel. I do not have a smartphone. I am living an antiquated Victorian age.
I guess so. You're as caveman-y as Socrates. I was going to call him Socrates, but I didn't. Sadly.
That was a neat... Did you mean to do that?
No.
Because Socrates had that thing about the shadows on the cave walls?
No, I didn't know anything about that. I just equate anybody born before 1965 with cavemen.
God damn it. That was like the best pun you've ever done, and you didn't even know you did it. Socrates had this theory about the most perfect form. And he said, like, imagine that there are people chained up into a cave, and all they see are the shadows passed by through the light on the cave wall. They can't turn around and look at what's outside there. They're like, oh, wow, look at that. That might be, what do you call that, a chair? Oh, that looks like a really neat chair. I wonder what a real chair would look, what the most perfect chair look like. And it would be behind them. They just never see it. It was this cave theory. And you said that caveman days, like Socrates, man. You had no idea.
I blew it.
You blew it, Capish. Muhammad, what are we going to do with this guy?
Now get mad and start talking.
Will do. And nobody talks more mad than Russian politicians. Especially this one who wants to limit how much people have sex. That comes from Vladimir Zhirinovsky. He wants couples to have sex permits, but they're only limited to sex once a quarter. Leader of the Liberal Democratic Party of Russia and, oh boy, Duma Vice Speaker. This is Vladimir Zhirinovsky. Said the future law on tobacco smoking, which the lower parliament chamber is to discuss on Tuesday, its third and final reading, should be much tougher, and the excessive eating and sex should also be restricted. The funny thing about this guy, aside from this part, is that he's also a meteorite denier. He thinks that the meteorite did not happen. He told them, you think that's a meteorite? Oh, you're all blind. That was U.S. Weapons testing going on.
Oh,
that's what caused all that shaking stuff.
That's that same guy?
Yep, same dude. Ugh.
Well, maybe he's right, though, because the dead aren't returning to life in Russia. They're not being eaten alive by a giant blob. Maybe he's got a point. Maybe he's right.
Yeah, since when has a meteorite just been a meteorite?
Yeah, it always comes with some sort of monster. No clover fields have showed up?
No. But how would you like it if you were getting taxed for sexual encounters?
I would hate it. Russia is the worst place on earth. A sex tax is just preposterous. And I read that in like the early 1900s or something, they had a beard tax or a mustache tax or something. A beard tax. Where if your beard was too long, they would tax you. And that's absurd. Mm-hmm. Especially when it's like cold outside, you're going to need a beard.
No, excuse me. This isn't a tax. It's just a ban. Oh, yeah, how would you like it if you were banned from having sex to just once a quarter?
Yeah, how are they going to enforce it then? Would I go to jail, or would they fine me if I had more sex than I was allowed to?
I don't know.
Well,
he's just basically saying that people have too much sex. He's like the rent's too damn high guy, but he's just saying people are having too much damn sex.
That's probably true. Well, I hope that they have a lot of bandwidth in Russia so that people can whack off instead of having all this sex. Probably a lot of people, a lot of guys at least, are probably pretty relieved to hear about this. And they probably hope it goes through, that way they can start whacking off properly and like have an excuse for it, you know?
I never knew you had to have an excuse to whack off. I thought that was just something you do.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, what if you get caught or something? I mean, wouldn't that be like the best excuse? I mean, I've been caught whacking off a few times in my day. And if I would have been like, but it's the law, then like it would have been all good. Rather than like all the crying that comes with it. And, why would you do this?
I gotta do this because it's my legal obligation.
Yeah, that sounds like way better than being like, well, you know, I just really enjoy The Devil and Miss Jones Part 3 and it's hot.
Yeah.
There's horse sex eating in that movie, by the way.
Oh, really?
Well, sort of.
Oh, going back.
Yeah.
Did they have a horse man baby?
No.
Did a guy bust a nut into a horse and then step off the bucket and put a shirt back on?
No. They weren't real horses. They were two actors acting like horses, because that's back in the olden days of porn when you would act like a horse.
That sounds like a furry film.
It's a pretty crazy film. There's a lot of weird stuff in it.
The Devil and Mrs. Jones, eh?
Part 3. We're doing it on Junk Food Dinner soon.
That was even part of our Part 3s from last week.
Yeah, I was thinking about putting it in there because it's probably the best Part 3 of all time. You know, I got regrets, you know?
Yeah, we all do.
Why didn't you remind me, Muhammad, that I should have done that?
I guess I blew that one.
I think so.
Look, man, I made a mistake.
Hey, it's all right.
Well, our last story comes about Representative Rayne Brown from North Carolina, the state Republican, introduces a bill criminalizing nipple exposure. He has introduced a bill that would clarify state law to specifically prohibit the bearing of women's breasts. Man, this blows hard. We can go for the true argument of, you know, what if a woman wants to breastfeed or something? What's the deal with that? What's the problem with that? Like, I've seen women breastfeeding in public. I don't have a problem with it. Do you have a problem with that?
Yeah, I got a problem with that.
What's your beef?
Man, nobody would like it if I just, like, whipped out my penis and fed a baby with it in the middle of the mall. Everybody would be up in arms if that happened.
I was with you up until you said, put in the baby's mouth. That's where I think that's the obvious cutting line. But
well, that's sexism. You know, that is sexism.
What was that old Jeff Frost joke? Like, just your cleavage could just be one ball sticking out.
Yeah, it could. I mean, it's like half of a ball. That's sexism. Well,
but that's the thing. It's like male genitalia is kind of gross. At least I don't have an eye for it. But, I mean, come on.
It's beautiful.
Dudes whip their shirt off all the time.
Not at the mall.
What if it's just, huh?
Not at the mall. Where are the places that dudes take their shirts off? They take them off on the field.
Festivals.
Festivals.
Public streets. Yeah. When it's over 58 degrees out.
Well, if they want to, like, if you want to breastfeed at a festival, be my guest. But I'm drawing the line at the mall. I don't want to see any nudity at the mall whatsoever.
How many times do you go to the mall? I didn't even think you left the house.
I'm going to the mall every day. I love
every day.
I love commerce.
You love Spencer's Gifts.
I do. I want to see all the blacklight posters where the alien says, "Take me to your dealer." I got to
still have those.
Yeah, they're going to have those till the end of time.
They also have a bunch of Adventure Time stuff.
I didn't know about that.
I think it took over all the South Park stuff that they used to have.
Yeah.
Remember that? It was just always like half the store was like South Park. The other half was Austin Powers shit.
Yeah, yeah. It was the best of times.
It was the blurst of times. Yeah, this guy's he's a buzzkill.
Actually, I think that you're being a little sexist here, Mr. Frisbee, because this is indeed... Either you or Huffington Post, one of the two.
It's Huffington Post.
This is indeed a woman who is trying to pass this law.
Oh, yeah, this woman's being a buzzkill.
Yeah, which is like, I thought it was a dude at first. I mean, I figured it had to be a dude who would do this, but it's even more mind-boggling to me that a woman would be like, oh, these nipples that are on my body, that have been on my body for as long as I've been alive? Man, people should go to jail if they see these things. Like, how upset at your body do you have to be? Like, how insane do you have to be? You know, like, how many body issue problems do you have where you think that anybody who sees your nipples should go to jail? And not just your nipples, any nipples.
Yeah. There's some childhood trauma there, I'm almost certain.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to speak for it, but come on. It's like, why you got to pick on nipples for? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why you gotta flick them nipples?
Mm-hmm. Hard nipples.
And this took place in Asheville's, North Carolina. When I was in Charlotte, nothing happened. Like, nothing ever happened. Then the DNC showed up. And I'm sure, like, nothing was happening then either. But Asheville and, like, the Triangle, apparently that's where shit goes down. That's where shit goes down, son. And that's where they had protests about this. And imagine what the protest would have been like, Parker. Imagine then.
Man, I get
women going shirtless all around.
Yeah.
Hamina, hamina, hamina. Are you following me?
I am. Okay. Yeah, I think the surest way to get people to come to, like, your Capitol building and show off nipples is to say that you don't want anybody showing off any nipples.
That's a pretty safe bet, because that's exactly what happened. Yeah, this is, it's dumb, it's stupid, it's puritanical, and weird. So weird. Like, why nipples? Could have been anything else. Could have just been, like, breasts. Or peens. It could have just been talking about dudes' peens or something.
Just the tip, though. Just the tip. You can't show that tip.
Yeah.
If you want to show the shaft, that's your business. But you're not showing that glans penis in my town, says Rain Brown.
If anything, I would just, like, don't ban nipples. Ban that goatsy photo. There's still times when I'm wandering around the internet aimlessly, and all of a sudden goatsy pops up. I don't need to be seeing any exposed buttholes. It's real gross.
I see goatsy like 4 times a day on Tumblr.
No avoiding it. Mm-hmm. Somebody posted in the thread, like, oh, I got a sweet response to this. Check out this sweet gif. It's like, no, that's not a gif. Worse than a screamer. That should be a law, too. Ban screamers.
Yeah,
it should be a felony to have screamers come out.
I would back that law so hard. Dude, I would invest so much money and manpower and time into that. If we could make it a felony for people to post screamers on the internet, man, I would wholeheartedly endorse that.
You'd probably become a lobbyist overnight.
I would. I would move to Washington immediately.
You are now tuned into the Pod Awful channel. PodAwful.net. Are you receiving
me? TV. Austin. I picked three TV. Movies that you've never seen.
Right.
And you
right.
picked three TV. Movies that I've never seen. And we force each other to watch at least one of them. And if you don't watch them, you get shot in the face.
TV.
I guess now is the time when we're going to do the TV hostage. So the TV hostage, like we said earlier, is the thing we ripped off from Kissing Contest. They do a movie hostage. And it's a thing where I give Mr. Frisbee three choices of TV shows to watch. And he picks one. And then he gives me three choices and I pick one. And if we don't comply, we get shot in the face. Last week, I picked Cowboy Bebop, and Mr. Frisbee picked Death Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And you went first last week, so I'll go first this week, Mr. Frisbee.
Okie doke.
Cowboy Bebop is a show that I've heard a lot about, and I've always been vaguely interested in watching one day, because a lot of people I like watch it. And so I watched these episodes. I watched two episodes because they're only 20 minutes long, as per the rules of this. I watched episode 8 and 20, which I found to be weird, and I thought that I would totally miss a lot of stuff, but I didn't really miss anything. There's not like a crazy story that I was out of. These are pretty episodic, and I could piece it together from the stuff I've learned about Cowboy Bebop from the internet. And, like the show, I thought it was really good. So I'm going to have a hard time talking about it, because it's hard talking about stuff you like.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked... Maybe I'll focus on stuff I didn't like.
Yeah.
But I liked a lot of it. I found it to be awesomely pretty. I found it to have a cool mood and atmosphere that I had not seen in a show in a long time, especially in episode 20, where this guy Spike, who's a bounty hunter, he's facing an assassin in an amusement park. And there's this scene where somebody's, like, crying in pain and screaming and wailing. And there's, like, a weird, like, robot parade going by at the same time. So you have this guy screaming, you know, screaming and having death throes and stuff. Juxtaposed over, you know, this Disney-esque parade, happy parade. And the animation in that looks cool. The colors look cool. The song they're playing is cool. I loved that. Like, this has a real cool mood about it. That being said, every character on the show who is not Spike is kind of boring. I thought, who's that bald guy? Is his name Tank?
Jet.
Jet. He's boring. I didn't care for him too much. The girl, Faye, I thought she was pretty boring. But, you know, all I know about her is that, like, people cosplay as her, like, constantly in the world. So I guess a lot of people like her. She didn't have too much characterization or anything. And, I mean, there's probably episodes that go into these characters, I would assume. Ayn the dog was kind of cute. The little girl, Ed, she was funny, I guess, but she wasn't very interesting. She just, like, said a lot of funny stuff and had ADD. But Spike is the main guy, and he's the best. I liked him a lot. He sleeps through the hijacking of a plane, which is a pretty tough guy move to do.
Did you like his eyewear for that?
Yeah, that was good stuff.
I thought that was fun.
He smokes in front of a no-smoking sign, which I think is probably the toughest thing a person can do.
Aside from everything else he does in the show, smoking in front of that no-smoking sign, so tough, so hard. And when he loiters in front of that no-loitering sign...
He doesn't care about the rules one bit. the show's super violent. There's a lot of cool action and stuff. And the animation was really good, especially in the action scenes, which I watch a lot of shows where the animation's maybe not so good. So I was pleased. You know, I've watched a lot of Dragon Ball Z in my day. And when those guys aren't fighting, the animation is pretty Hanna-Barbera-y.
Yeah.
So it was like a lot of just, like, still pictures of Vegeta and then, like, screaming over top of it and stuff. And there's a lot of cool animation in this, even when they're not fighting. At the beginning of episode 20, Spike gets beat up, which I like when your tough guy hero gets beat up and shows that he's He's no Superman. There are people out there who can beat him up. I like that Serenity, which is sort of similar to the show in some ways, does that very well. The tough, like, hero gets beat up kind of all the time on that show, and it's great. I don't like a superhero, or I don't like a protagonist that's a superhero, unless it's a superhero show, oddly enough. At the end, like, during episode 20, when Spike's fighting this assassin guy who's, like, the creepiest villain, his friends are, like, looking in and to the villain and, like, trying to find out who he is. And by the end of the episode, they call him on his phone and they're like, hey, we know who the guy is. And Spike's like, I don't care anymore. And I found him to be very ungrateful and very awesome at the same time. I liked that a great deal. All in all, I mean, like I said, I like this, so I don't know. I don't have any jokey stuff to make fun of like I did with Downton Abbey. But this show's pretty good. I will probably watch more of it. Although I do feel like maybe these were the two best episodes, so I feel like if I watch more of it, maybe I'll be let down.
But I was going to ask if you did watch some more of it, but I do not think that these are the best episodes. Now, the reason I picked these two, which I know I'd seen that first one, but I only just recently watched that second one, the episode 20, Pierre Lafou, I think is what's called.
Mm-hmm.
After I saw that and the other one on a top 10 list review of like best episodes of Cowboy Bebop, because I was trying to pick out the best ones. I wanted to pick episode 1 because there's a really great fighting action sequence in that, but I thought some of the dialogue was kind of hokey. It's like, no, I don't kind of leave a stronger impression or something interesting. And those two episodes kind of stand out. One because episode 8, Flowers of Venus, that one is kind of a straight bounty story. And the episode 21 stood out because it has like these horror themes to it. Plus, that assassin, the creepy assassin dude, he says boy a lot, like in Phantasm, mm-hmm. which I thought you might like.
I did like that. I thought that he was a very tall man-esque.
Yeah. But you're right. There are some Jet-centric episodes, which are good. Like, Jet has a pretty shitty past, and the reason that he doesn't get, like, a lot of spotlight is because he doesn't want to talk about any of it. Because when he does, it's super depressing. Really well done. But, yeah, I mean, he would just probably shut up anyway, not be too interesting the rest of the time. Faye has a weird, sordid past. She's actually kind of complicated in a Captain America sort of way.
Nice.
That probably gives away too much, but... yeah, she's got some really cool episodes. One of them has Hermaphrodite in it. That was pretty weird.
You're speaking my language here.
I know. These are all good things. But Spike, obviously, the center character, he has the story arc. It's kind of bookended, and there are scenes alluding to it here and there at the beginning of episodes. Mostly doesn't really cover a lot of ground for it until the Spike-centric episodes, like, oh, I got to deal with this one guy from my past. Those are the episodes that cover his story. The other ones are kind of like the ones you saw, one-offs, one-shots. Sometimes they get money, sometimes they don't. But I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, I would have watched more already, I think, but I watched these right before we recorded the show because I've been watching RoboCop and RoboCop-related items, like, all week.
Yeah, you're all about these futuristic cyborg types this week.
I watched all the RoboCop movies this week, and I watched RoboCop 2.5 times because it's so good. So I had no time for this until the last minute.
Would you buy that for $1, or would you not buy that for $1?
Of course I would buy that for $1.
All right, good.
So how about you? How did your time with Death Valley treat you?
Well, I picked Death Valley last week out of the selections, because the other selection was, My Mother the Car?
Yep, My Mother the Car.
And I can't remember the other one.
Something that was stupid. Oh, Freddy's Nightmares.
Freddy's Nightmares, yeah. And Death Valley, well, I did want to explore more of My Mother the Car, since I've always heard about it. I picked Death Valley because it sounded unique, and I remembered hearing some of the previews for this when MTV was picking up a lot of shows, and I didn't have access to MTV at the time. You know, missed its initial run. back in 2011, and just heard, you know, it's kind of like Reno 911, but with vampires, werewolves, and zombies. And that was the elevator pitch for this show, which, depending on how you hear that, can be like hokey as hell, or something that you're like, oh, okay, I like both of those groups of things, so I'll just give it a shot. And I'm kind of tempted to stop doing TV Hostage now, because I don't think TV gets any better than Death Valley.
Oh, okay, all right. I
think my love for TV shows has peaked with this one. I watched the first two episodes. They're about 21 minutes long, 24 minutes long. And was laughing pretty consistently throughout. There is a story that develops with it. This UTF task force, the undead task force of San Fernando Valley. As the title blurb explains, there's like a really quick blurb that says zombies appearing in San Fernando Valley. And that kind of gives some text blocks over this driving theme song that says like 1 year ago today, or like a year ago, zombies, vampires, werewolves started appearing. No one knows why. These are the police that must capture these monsters, and these are the camera crew that captures the police. So it deals with this meta concept that Reno 911 doesn't really do in the same way that this show does. Reno 911, you get it from the camera angles like Cops, from the cameramen like Cops, but you never talk to the camera guys or anything. This show, since these cops are trying to fight vampires, werewolves, and keep zombies under control and stuff, and they don't know why it's happening, but it's been part of their life for the past year, they're all used to it. And one of the things that the show does extremely well is that the cops, the main actors, see nothing bizarre about the mundane nature of their job. Like when you watch Cops and somebody's chasing a meth addict, you know, you or I wouldn't do that. We wouldn't chase a guy down the street because he stole our pocketbook if he's wielding a knife or something. Or if like some dude is driving drunk, we're not going to pull him over. That's a cop's job. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you watch cops are probably very tense underneath, you know, underneath the persona they're putting forward, but they deal with it all the time. So you see like these seasoned cops and they really don't give a shit. It's a job. And that's what it is with the UTF task force. All these actors are great. I didn't recognize a lot of them. I think I only recognized, what's his name?
Brian
Callen.
Yeah. He's very funny.
Yeah. From Mad TV and probably a couple of other roles that I can't really... A lot of comedies. I know he's in The Hangover.
Mm-hmm. He's in Pool Boy. Which...
Huh?
He's in a movie called Pool Boy, which is on Netflix right now. That's kind of funny. And he's got a podcast, which is very funny.
Okay.
Well,
yeah,
sort of funny.
But anyway, he's the team captain. And he's kind of two-dimensional at first. Like, he acts like a Greek chorus explaining to the team like what they got to do, kind of like an Officer Dangle sort of type from Reno 911.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of pulls back, even though he's extremely funny, and lets some of these other people who I don't really recognize come forward. And I thought they all had like excellent timing. The punchiness of the jokes and everything worked really well for me. I was actually surprised to read some reviews after this. And I'm almost done with the unfortunately only season that was released. I have like three more episodes left to watch.
I think there are comic books based on the series that either came out before or are ongoing and came out after or something like that. I think, but I might be wrong. If you need more of this show,
I probably will, because the reviews I read were disappointing. It did not seem to read as though some of the people had actually watched the show. One I read from the New York Times, the guy said that, you know, the show has a lot of misses with some of the jokes and some hits, and it's pretty shallow storytelling, which I think is false. I thought it was actually interesting how they brought the different characters and pairs of cops together and finish the storytelling, unlike some other shows that exist on like the CW or whatever. They actually, aside from this, you know, dark horror comedy, Shaun of the Dead style comedy, I thought, like how quick it was and how everyday scenarios were played under on this like extreme gore, right? The guy writing this New York Times thing, he's like, an entire episode was based around a car getting stuck in zombie entrails. And I actually watched that episode before reading this article. I think it's like episode 4 or 5. That's only like one segment of that particular episode. It takes place for maybe 10 seconds. And it's a larger story of the cop that gets the car stuck trying to let loose. Like, he's driving around a parking lot to Camper Van Beethoven's Take the Skinheads Bowling. They're like, they're going around hitting these walking zombies. And then he gets stuck. But it's part of his release because he's trying to, you know, have more fun. So I thought it was a real shame that looking back at this, I mean, I kind of wrote it off as being on MTV. And that was obviously a disservice. Even though it was on MTV, it doesn't really play to the tropes that a lot of MTV shows might. Like, it's nowhere near as steeped in the reality TV show premise of people being self-indulgent on the camera. They talk to the cameras and then the lens pulls back further and the show is like actually showing you the camera guys interacting with the cops and everything. And I thought that was really cool.
The cameramen die in some episodes, which is hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. The first sound guy, his death is fucking hysterical. And the first episode of all things. And the way they treat each other. And again, just, it was way more quick than I think people, I really don't think people paid attention to this show. And that's a shame. Like, the reviews I read on New York Times and Onion, I mean, of course, like, reading a review on Onion AV Club is, it's like pulling teeth to get anywhere near the point of what they're trying to say. Like, they can't just say, I didn't like the show. They talk about 13 other shows, and then the last paragraph is like, so, this show is bad because it's not like Lost or something. And by the way, there's a girl from Lost on this show.
Yeah, Foxy girl.
Yeah, which is a show that I've never watched because I've been under a rock for the past 15 years. So
it's for the best. You're not missing anything.
Well, anyway, yeah, as I've said already, like, this show's fucking great. I'm almost done watching it, and I'm sad that I'm almost done watching it because each episode I thought consistently delivered. They had me at Choco Taco in the first episode, and I was surprised that it got funnier. Like, I was like, oh, okay, that's probably as good as this show's going to get. They drop Choco Taco after killing a zombie, and then he says it again to equal comedic effect. Like, the guy who says it was part of the Upright Citizens Brigade, this one actor, Charlie Sanders, plays Stubeck. He's just, they're all so funny and had such a good chemistry. That's a real bummer this show's off the air. But I'm glad it's on Netflix Instant, because it's like, I wouldn't have seen this otherwise.
Yeah, I think this, I mean, obviously this show probably got made because vampires and zombies are, like, so hot right now and everything. But I think that also turned off a lot of people, especially the people who would like this show. Like, I think a lot of, like, horror fans and, like, kids who would listen to, like, Junk Food Dinner and stuff, like, real horror fans and, like, real fans of zombies and vampires, they're not going to watch, you know, True Blood necessarily or The Vampire Diaries or whatever. And I think all that crap turns them off from any new vampire and zombie stuff that comes out. Stuff like Warm Bodies probably turns people off from, you know, anything remotely connected to vampires and zombies. Which is a shame because I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of real horror fans would have really dug this. And then a lot of comedy fans would have dug it because it's, you know, hilarious. Regardless of zombies being in there. But then, you know, I mean, there are also gruesome vampire and zombie attacks, so that sweetens the pot. But yeah, I think if this was maybe, like, pushed a little bit harder, or if it wasn't, if the market wasn't so saturated with bullshit vampire stories, this could have got a lot of people interested. I think it's sad that nothing came of this. Then, even if it was like a huge hit, MTV probably would have canceled it after the first season, because that's what they do. But
yeah, I was so sad that it was only the one season, because again, all the I thought it was really great. Like, I see a difference between West Coast humor and East Coast humor. I mean, as far as like New York and LA goes, or at least Chicago going east, and then the West Coast. Like, the West Coast has a unique style of storytelling. This actually kind of harkens back to a lot of 80s style comedy, in how they like would put characters in surreal situations, or it'd be this really surreal situation or universe, but the characters would still be very much human. I mean, if you like Buffy, or if you like, really what I thought could have sold this show better than anything, instead of just saying, hey, you like vampires? What about Teen Wolf? You like Teen Wolf? Because that's a show now, again. Yeah,
on MTV.
On MTV. If they would have just said, like, it's Shaun of the Dead meets Hot Fuzz, like, not from the mind of Edgar Wright or anything like this, but it's those two things. It is exactly those two things.
Yeah.
Like Hot Fuzz, making fun of cop tropes. Not, I mean, some specific call-outs, but just the cop trope, you know, and that kind of genre of storytelling. And then Shaun of the Dead, doing the same thing with, like, zombie films, horror films. It's just, it's those two things merged, and it's so fucking funny.
It's very good. I'm glad you like it. I like it a lot. I actually haven't seen the whole series. I've only seen, like, the first 7 or 8 episodes, so I should probably get back on it, but it's a good show. I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, yeah. I was grinning ear to ear with every episode, so, yeah, that was awesome.
Nice.
I recommend everybody check it out while it's still on instant streaming. I mean, if you like horror genre even a little bit, you'll love this movie. If you thought Shaun of the Dead was okay, you'll really enjoy this show.
I was down in the bayou hunting alligators with World of Warcraft aficionado Jason Razor Babes Frisbabe. An alligator ate his shirt right off of his muscular body. I said, don't worry. I reached in the cooler and pulled out a junk food dinner shirt from Hide the Bodies. Jason was eaten by an alligator. I guarantee it.
Yeah, so that's the end of the show. Mr. Frisbee, would you like to plug your Acid Pop Cult again?
Yes, I would. Check out Acid Pop Cult. You can find them on iTunes. You can also find them at acidpopcult.com. And I'll be on episode 50.
Historic episode 50.
It's the Golden Shower episode.
Mm-hmm.
Talking with... I'm sitting in for Roxy. She's out that week. And talking with Lee and Jeremy about all those things I talked about earlier. Blaxploitation films, old TV shows, all that good stuff. We do rapid rants. And... yeah, it's a lot of fun. And check those guys out anyway. They've got a lot of good shows and good discussion topics. So, Acid Pop Cult.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of rants, you and I were on the Rotten Rantings show, Mr. Frisbee, together as a team, as it was intended.
As conjoined twins, yes.
And you can find that at RottenRantings.com or on iTunes or Stitcher. It's those guys are cool.
Mm-hmm.
Katie and Chris Robo. Although, I was watching RoboCop. Part 2,
yeah.
I think. And at one point, RoboCop's partner says, oh, Robo. And RoboCop's like, call me Murphy. So now I think I'm going to have to call Chris Robo. I'm going to call him Murphy for now on. That's his new
nickname.
That
sounds
good. But those guys are great. They do a fun horror podcast. And we were on there talking about the worst movies of all time. And so that was a lot of fun, other than the actual watching of the movies.
Yeah, they make it fun. It's excellent stuff. Their other shows are good, too.
Yeah.
The shows that we're not on are also good. So check out Rotten Rantings.
Yeah. And check out the Junk Food Dinner shirt. If you listen to this show, I assume that you're listening to Junk Food Dinner, which is a cult movie podcast that I co-host. And if you go to junkfooddinner.com right now, you can click on a little picture of our new shirt. and you can buy that shirt. It's only $12, and it's probably the best shirt you're ever going to see in your whole Mickey Mouse life.
Hmm.
And even if you don't like junk food dinner, the shirt is just soft. Like, you wear it inside out. I mean, it's just the best shirt, even if it didn't have pictures of our mugs on them. And even if it didn't represent the best cult movie podcast in the universe, still just a great shirt. I would pay for this shirt, even if it didn't have cool pictures of me and Julian Sands and Mark and Kevin. Soft. You know what I'm talking about. You know how soft that shirt is.
Can you guarantee it?
I guarantee it.
Is it bold? Is it Texas style?
It's a little spicy.
The shirt. Bold, huh?
Yeah.
I like my bold shirts. I mean, I like my shirts bold.
I hear that. It's a good shirt, so you can buy it now. You can also listen to the Junk Food Dinner as our third birthday is coming up, starting in a couple of weeks. So that's a lot of fun. As far as this show is concerned, Pool Party, our 100th episode is coming up. Our next round of Saved by the Bell episodes is coming up. Big stuff's popping. March is a big time for both of these podcasts, Mr. Frisbee.
I hear that.
You can find
out. It's also a big year for me. It's my birthday in March.
Nice. And I'm going to Las Vegas in March. It's probably going to be the best month ever, I would say.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, March is the best month ever.
Yeah. You can find more of our shows at poolpartyradio.com or on iTunes. And if you leave us some nice reviews and comments on iTunes, because it's close to our birthday, same goes for Junk Food Dinner. We celebrate birthdays around the same time here, our 100th episode and our 2-year anniversary is coming up here. If you'd like to leave us some ratings, reviews, that sort of thing, for presents, that would be great, because then more people will stumble upon our show. I know when I'm on iTunes looking for new shows, if a show only has like 3 reviews, I'm like, yo, that's probably just like the hosts. This show probably stinks. I'm going to pass it by for something else. But if I see a show has, a good amount, a strong double-digit amount of reviews, then I give it a listen. And generally, yeah, only if it has double-digit amounts. Once it gets into the triple digits, I don't even bother with that. We need strong double-digit amounts here on Pool Party.
No more, no less.
Mm-hmm. We need 99.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
That's a nice, bold number. This is a Texas bold number.
Yeah, and once we actually get up to 99, we're going to delete this episode so that we can tell people to give us 100 and keep going into the triple digits.
Because we would hate to be hypocrites.
That's true. So we'll revise history. We'll be the Stalins of podcasting.
Are they going to say the Doctor Who of podcasting? Because he tries to rewrite history.
What a villain. Are you excited for this Doctor Who movie that's going to have all the doctors in it? It's going to be in theaters and in 3D?
No, I haven't been keeping up with that show.
Oh, well.
It's all over now that Death Valley's in my life.
Nice. So. Made in America. Just like RoboCop.
By the lead singer of Power Man 5000. How fucking weird is that?
Yeah, I know. So bizarre.
Yeah.
Who would have known that guy would be better at making television than his brother?
One song?
Well, yeah. From his one song than his brother is at making movies.
Hmm.
Also go to go to facebook.com/poolpartyradio and like us. We'll give you some news there about the show. If a show is going to be late or non-existent, that's probably the place to figure it out and to find out more about it. Or by following us on Twitter at Jason Frisbee and at Final Parker. Doug Stanhope tweeted me the other day.
Oh, no way.
It was very exciting. We were fighting, though, on the internet. I have decided that the only time celebrities respond to anything on Twitter is when you want to fight with them. If you want to tell somebody, like Dan Harmon, that he's great and you love him, he'll never respond. But if you want to tell Dan Harmon he's a piece of crap, he'll respond to you.
Yo, community's a piece of shit.
Man,
what'd you say? That's the response.
Yeah, community is a piece of shit. Have you seen any of the new episodes, the Dan Harmon-less episodes?
I watched half of one, and that was it.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yep.
Ugh, rough stuff. Anywho. So that's everything. This is Parker for Muhammad and Jason Razorbabes Frizzbabes saying thanks for having fun.
In the late 80s, my family life was a roller coaster ride. Peaks and valleys, brother, good and bad. The bad came first in 1987 when I got word that my brother Alan had passed away. Alan had a long history of problems. He had been in and out of Florida jails and ended up going to Texas under a different name. He just took off and started another life. Then he got in trouble in Texas and ended up moving to L.A., where he got remarried and had a child named David Bolea. But trouble found him in L.A. too. He ended up partying a lot and running with the wrong group of people. At one point, Alan tried to pull himself together and went through a drug treatment program. I saw him right after that. I dropped him off at his house in L.A., gave him money for his rent, his van, and his motorcycle, and asked him if he wanted to come to San Francisco to watch me wrestle at the Cow Palace. He said he wanted to stay in L.A., so I went up to San Francisco on my own.